I'm a pastor also. And as I said once before, I'm glad to see him back. He's a treasure to this church. And heaven, and we know that we need to help him and not hinder him. And what came to my mind is said, it doesn't matter though whether you help him or not, because he's not going to let nobody hinder him. And that's the way we all should be. You're not going to let anybody hinder you or come between you and Jesus Christ. One other thing, I want to thank each and every one of you that showed up for the hospital for my wife's surgery. You know, it's amazing that the people that surround you, you don't think they really care. But all you have to do is wait and be patient. They will show you that there are people that care for one another, as the Bible said we should. And I want to thank each and every one of you that showed for phone calls, emails, everything else. It is good. Now, this morning, from the scripture that was read, St. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. From that scripture, I want to use as a subject, be careful climbing trees and going and attending church. Be careful climbing trees and attending church. Now, we in that scripture we read where Zacchaeus he knew Christ was coming to town. And since he was short in stature, he wanted to see Christ. So what did he do? He ran and climbed up in a sycamore tree. Now, why did he climb up in that sycamore tree? He had all the money, he had all the wealth, all the comforts of life which money could buy. But he also was a man who would find it difficult to enter the kingdom of heaven. And that is because his money was a serious threat to his salvation. You see, men, we have a tendency to love money and the things that it can do for us. Now, why did he climb that tree? It could have been that Zacchaeus wanted to control a controlled experience with Jesus Christ, safe up in the tree, where he could encounter Jesus, but become not vulnerable to him. Perhaps we come to church this morning wanting a safe experience with God, but with the comforts of God without the challenges. Our encounter with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is beyond our control and may transform us in ways that we did not expect. Now, this scripture starts out reading in that first sentence. It says, it's a simple sentence. It says, he entered into Jericho and was passing through it. Now, whatever else that may have happened in Jericho that day, Jesus was moving toward the critical point of his ministry. He goes to Jericho because there was a sinner there. In fact, there were two or three sinners there, and our Lord was going after them. And I pray, church, that you don't miss the movement here. Because if you miss the movement here, you'll miss the entire message of this scripture. Jericho was a city that God had given to Joshua. Now, when you study your Bible, you will find that the Bible concerning this event, you will find that there was a curse placed on the one who would rebuild Jericho. In Jesus' day, it was like a resort area, like the Las Vegas of this time. Many people spent their vacations there. Many people spent their time there because it was a home of the publicans. And you see, they were like a modern-day mafia. Now, I wonder what was it that Zacchaeus wanted when he climbed up in the tree. I'm not sure whether anybody else wondered, but I did. Zacchaeus knew that Jesus was passing through there. But he was short in stature, and he was unable to see him. So he climbed up in that tree to see over the people. Now, when he climbed up in the sycamore tree, it could have been he was just curious about this traveling miracle worker. Did he want just a glimpse of the man who was causing so much fuss? Or was a glimpse of Jesus simply a momentary distraction? A bit of excitement in an otherwise routine day? Did Zacchaeus want something more out of seeing Jesus? Did he hope that perhaps seeing Jesus would bring him a little bit of peace or bring him a little bit of comfort? Was climbing the tree to see Jesus like rubbing Buddha's belly today, what the world calls luck? Church, when everybody else hates you, you would do just about anything to feel good. Maybe seeing Jesus would have made Zacchaeus feel better about himself. Or maybe for just a moment he wanted to feel as though he was part of the crowd. Maybe it was just as simple as that. He didn't quite know why he climbed the tree. Whatever his reason, whatever his fixed motives may have been, we can be sure that when Zacchaeus climbed the tree, he didn't expect to happen what happened. As a rich man, as he was, something wasn't right in his life. There was something that was missing. As Zacchaeus found that climbing a tree could be dangerous for more than just breaking a bone or falling out of the tree. After he climbed up in the tree, his life changed forever. Climbing that tree cost him half of what he owned. Something happened to Zacchaeus up in that tree. He was desperate in seeing Jesus Christ. One can say that Zacchaeus began to experience the beginning of faith within his heart. He may have thought about Matthew. See, Matthew was a tax collector also. And tax collectors during that time were hated people. He may have wanted only a glimpse of Jesus, but he received something that penetrated him deep down within his soul. Luke doesn't tell us how Jesus knew Zacchaeus' name. But you see, we know how Jesus knew his name, because Jesus knows each and every one of us by name. He knows our address. He knows where we live. But we know but Zacchaeus doesn't go into that. But when he got to the place where Zacchaeus was, he got to that sycamore tree. He looked up in the tree and called his name and made contact with Zacchaeus. Jesus made contact. Has he made contact on your life today? Has he made contact on your life this week? I don't know why Jesus singled out Zacchaeus or why he spoke only to him. But I do know one thing, what the Bible says. It said he looked up in that tree and said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today I must abide at your house." That doesn't seem like much, does it? It depends, just because inviting someone to dinner, it could be a life-changing thing. But that it depends on who is doing the invitation. But you see, we got to remember Jesus was asking him to come down. It must have been something in Jesus' words that touched Zacchaeus, something that made a great difference in his life. Zacchaeus made haste. He was obedient. He made haste and he came down. And the Bible said he received him joyfully. See, that's what we have to do, church. And when the crowd was around there, they start, as some of us do today, start murmuring. But you see, and then you go in verse 7, it talks about the murmuring. But I went over to Matthew chapter 9, verse 11, because it tells us who those that were murmuring. It says that they were, the Pharisees saw it. They said unto his disciples, "Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" And you see, when Zacchaeus, they got home, he and Jesus, they was at the table, they were sitting down eating. But then the Bible said Zacchaeus stood up and pledged to give half of all his money. He says, "I give to the poor," and paying them back all that he had defrauded fourfold. Now, something serious had happened inside of Zacchaeus. There was a great change that took place in his heart. We hear so often, the pastor says so often that he's read, you can't meet Jesus and remain the same. You see, Zacchaeus had met Jesus, and he could not remain the same. Luke doesn't let us in on the process that took place inside of Zacchaeus. He, just as we, cannot see the heart of Zacchaeus. The only one that can see the heart of Zacchaeus was God. We didn't see him crying and weeping for his sins. We didn't feel him give up his death grip on his feeling of guilt for what he has been doing to the people. So this is telling me that Zacchaeus was seeking something. Remember, I said there was something wrong. He was trying to get right. So he was just telling me that he was in search and seeking for Jesus Christ. We know only that he was a changed man, and that the change was the only thing that's important. Now, did Zacchaeus bargain for this when he climbed up in that tree? By climbing a tree, he may have wanted to gain an experience with Jesus, but also to keep his distance. He didn't run up to Jesus the way that the rich ruler did. Y'all remember the story? He wanted to see Jesus, but he did not want to draw too close. By climbing the tree, maybe Zacchaeus wanted a controlled experience with Jesus. Come away with a good feeling, but nothing that was challenging. Whatever Zacchaeus wanted, something very different happened. Zacchaeus got more than he had bargained for that day. Jesus broke through Zacchaeus' attempt to protect himself. Jesus turned his world upside down that day. He did all of this without preaching a sermon or performing any miracles as was done in his ministry. He didn't cast out any demons or tell any parables in this scripture. Jesus recognized Zacchaeus and saw the person underneath, the tax collector. That personal touch made a real change in his life. And if Jesus touched you, when he touches you, he will make a change in your life. All you have to do is ask him and invite him in and be willing to accept that change. Be like Zacchaeus when it said back there in the third verse, I believe it is. So when he came down, he received him joyfully. See, we have to receive Jesus Christ joyfully. He gives no grudging. He didn't give anything grudgingly. Even though when he had said he was going to give all back, he did not grudgingly give it back. But he gave more than anyone could expect it. He pledged to willingly seek out those that he had cheated, risking their scorn and their hatred so that he can make things right. And you see, church, when we have done somebody wrong, and we know that we have done them wrong, we need to go and seek them out and ask for their forgiveness. You got to, because the Bible tells us that. We got to get it right. And I hear a pastor say all the time, it's quicker to get forgiveness looking vertically than it is looking out horizontal. Yeah. See, we get stiff-necked and don't want to forgive people. But we got to, because God said so. He wanted to make things right, so he went out and he was seeking for them. Jesus announced that salvation had come to his house. And in that salvation had come to his house. Has salvation come to your house? Do you want salvation to come to your house? If you want salvation to come to your house, seek as Zacchaeus did and seek out Jesus Christ. Because he said, if you seek for him and you search, you will find him. If you knock, the door will be open. But if we just sit and do nothing, God is not going to force his way in. He's going to wait on you. And you have a choice to make, whether you want to go to heaven and spend eternity with him, or you want to spend eternity in hell. See, church, hell is real. It is real. So help us and let us make the right choice. Do we come to church thinking that it is a safe thing to do? Did we come with some expectation of receiving a blessing? Did we come with some expectation for receiving a bit of comfort? Or did we come to receive what the Word of God had to say? Did we think about the possibilities that we may have encountered with Jesus? Would it rearrange our lives? Would it explore our priorities? Would it cause us to give more than we had expected to give? Did we think we could get a little something from Jesus Christ? A dose of grace to help us through the week? Did we come for the fellowship? Or did we come for the music? Did we come for a spiritual boost? Now, none of us can argue with those reasons, but make sure the reason you're coming is to receive the Word of God. And then once you receive the Word of God, apply it to your life. Live by his word. But you see, Jesus, however, he had other plans for this worship service. And Christ may have wanted to come under your skin today. Remember, I asked, why did you come to church today? He may have wanted to transform you into something that he needs you to be. Christ may see through, and he will see through us, so that something that we think that we have well hidden will come to surface. Christ may want to get rid of all of this unworthy stuff that you have in your life. He wants you to come with a clean hand and a clean heart. The Bible tells us here, we know it says, come as you are. It says, come as you are. That means it doesn't matter what you have done in your life. It doesn't matter what you're doing. But when you come, You leave all that other stuff. You don't continue sinning in this world. You devote and give your life over to Jesus Christ. Just like Zacchaeus, when he came down, he received Jesus Christ. And it said he received him joyfully. You see, that's what we have to do. Zacchaeus discovered that Jesus really knew him. You see, the town, though they knew Zacchaeus, they knew him as a tax collector. But he had to keep his pain. He had to keep his guilt and his fears hidden. Remember, I told you back earlier that he had to keep this stuff to himself. And you see, that's what we do. No one really wanted to know Zacchaeus. We found that everyone found satisfaction in calling Zacchaeus a sinner. Good God Almighty, remember the parable of the lost sheep found in Luke 15 and the prodigal son that's found in the same chapter. Enacted by Jesus before the eyes of the people of Jericho. Now, the shepherd was sought and found the lost sheep. The waiting father had run out to get to greet his son on the road. Good God Almighty, if all stories hadn't happy ending, this would be the time for it to end. But Zacchaeus, he was a rich man, a tax collector, and a seeker after Jesus. He is found by the one who he seeks and hurries to embrace the one who calls him. Maybe that's how we like for the story to end. But when you remember in the scripture, it tells you that when he came down, the people saw this, they start murmuring. They start grumbling, but in this story, not everybody is happy. Not everyone is satisfied to have Jesus and the rich sinner in a warm embrace. There's a question of prosperity. There's a question of righteousness. The crowd around him, those who saw him, began to grumble. He has gone to be the guest in a house of one who is a sinner. It's not a new complaint about Jesus. We know, and I want you to go to the book, Luke chapter 5, verse 27 and through 32. And you will find in these words, he says, after these things, he went forth. And we'll be talking about when he went to Levi's house. And Levi took him home and he made him a special dinner. And all the people complained, all the publicans complained and said the same thing, that he's going to be eating with a sinner. And Levi, I said, he made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees began murmuring against his disciples, saying, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Good God Almighty. And Jesus answering and said unto them, my Lord, they that are whole need not a physician, my Lord, but they, my Lord, that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And that's what he's doing today. He's calling each and every one of you, as well as myself, to repentance. We all are sinners. But somebody said, well, I'm saved. That's all right. said, I'm a saved sinner, yeah, but you still sin. That's something that we can't get away from, but we can give our lives to Jesus Christ. Be like Zacchaeus. He turned his life over to Jesus Christ. Jesus used this occasion to make it clear that he didn't condone unrighteousness. Good God Almighty, but he had come to save my Lord the unrighteous. But two things are different here. First, it is not just Pharisees who want to reserve a place for the ritual righteousness near the holy man. All who saw him grumbled, my Lord, this generalized grumbling will set, and it will get much louder the closer that Jesus got to Jerusalem. We said this morning we're getting into the season where Easter is coming, and this is leading up to that. My Lord, good God Almighty, good God Almighty, but there is something else here as well, my Lord. For this time, Jesus isn't the one who's answered the complaint of the crowd. Remember who we're talking about, Zacchaeus. This is the moment of the crisis in the story, my Lord. And in the life of Zacchaeus, he started out to see who Jesus was, my Lord. And now he's faced by the grumbling of the crowd with the question of who he is and who he's going to be, my Lord. By seeking him, by finding him, and by calling him, by choosing to stay with him, Jesus forced Zacchaeus, just as he will do you, to look at yourself and see who you are and where you are in Jesus Christ, my Lord Almighty, by asking, what do you want to do, my Lord? When you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, he knows before you ask him. But be for real in your asking, my Lord, good God Almighty. He made a response to the grumbling of the people, saying, behold, remember when he told the Lord, I'm going to give half of what I own back to the people. And if there's anyone that I stole from fraudulently, I'm going to give it back fourfold. Good God Almighty, Zacchaeus surrendered his wealth, my Lord. He admits his sin, and my Lord, he makes restitution for the wrong that he has done in the world. And that is exactly how we should respond when the world becomes disquieted or disgusted with our behavior as a Christian. When we claim Jesus, ew, my Lord, to be guest in our lives, if we claim Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior, let us live that life. Let us live that life. Let us not just talk about it, but let us live and show somebody that Jesus is real in my life.
Jesus, good God Almighty, somewhere it said, if you be ashamed of me, I would be ashamed of you before my Father. And I don't want Jesus to say, depart from me. I know you not, but church, let us be like Zacchaeus. Good God Almighty. But the part I like, when Jesus got to that tree, I like what he did. He looked up and he saw, he made contact with Zacchaeus. What he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. What Zacchaeus did, what we need to do, when God call you, when he touch you, he said, come on down. You need to move right then. Don't say, I'll do it later on. You may not, Lord have mercy, have the tongue. My Lord, don't wait until tomorrow. Make a move right now. Tomorrow is not promised to you, but God is good. God is good. And all he's waiting for is you to say, Lord, here I am. Send me. As he said in Isaiah, he said, I send me, good God Almighty, I'll go. Lord have mercy, good God Almighty, whoo, my Lord. You see, God don't want a coward soldier. He wants somebody that's going to work. We heard yesterday about excuses. We all have them. But God don't want to hear excuses. You got his word right here. He tells you in 2 Timothy, study to show thyself approved, rightly dividing the word. You study for yourself. God will do the rest. But you got to be obedient, just like Zacchaeus. He was obedient when he came down with haste. And he went to the house and he made a meal. Yeah, people are going to grumble, but that's okay. They grumbled about Jesus Christ. They're going to grumble about you. It doesn't matter how much money you have. Doesn't matter what type of house you may live in. None of that is important. Your important thing is to focus on Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only way. You see, I want to tell you one more thing before I get out of your way. The world is not listening for something. That's what I had in my notes. They're not listening for something today. It is that they are looking for something. And what are they looking for? Zacchaeus had what the world was looking for. Jesus had a dinner with him and his life changed. But you see, what I was talking about, what were they looking for? They had the money, the funds that he had. And you see, that's what the world is looking for instead of looking for the true word of God. We need to focus on the Bible, focus on the word of God. All this other stuff is fine. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, nothing else matters, because when you get to heaven, You can't say, Lord, I did this, I did that. But somewhere in the scripture, it tells us all that stuff that's not going to matter, because he tell you, depart from me, I knew you not. You can say, I saved this and I did that. That's fine. But study the word for yourself. Don't let anybody come between you and God. Husband, wife, nobody. We just can't do that. Bible said, we say that God is first. God is second, if there is a second, which I heard yesterday. But God is first. And if you keep God first, everything else in your life is going to fall into place. If you keep God first, everything else is going to fall into place. When Zacchaeus was up in that tree, Jesus didn't say, clean up your act, Zacchaeus, and then you can come and be close to me. No, Jesus saw Zacchaeus' need, and he reached out in love and welcomed and brought Zacchaeus close. And when Jesus went and ate with him and his family, in a deep demonstration of God's grace and in a display of his radical generosity of God, who keeps calling all of us to come and be fed. This story reminds us that no matter our past or our presence with God, he is an unconditional, he shows unconditional love. And he's just waiting to embrace you. All you have to do is invite him in. But it also reminds us that something, sometimes to get close to that love of God, sometimes to put ourselves in that path, we have to climb a tree. There are four conversions that took place in Zacchaeus when he climbed that tree. He, number one, he was desperate to see Jesus Christ. And number two, receiving the invitation. And number three, he repented. And number four, looking to Jesus as his Savior. And that's what we have to do. God will do what you ask him, but you got to do something too. You got to be for real with God. Amen. God is a wonderful God. And he won't ever change. I know we say that. But we got to more than say it. We got to believe it. We got to trust in what God says. And there's a sign that I saw. It says God is a promise keeper. Yes, he is a promise keeper. Read the promises. I forget there's 600 of them or something or more. But he has not let anyone down on one yet. Amen. God bless you. God keep you is my prayer. Just keep continuing looking to Jesus. You can love everybody, but you keep that love, your focus on Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to ask everybody to stand. We're at the part to where we're going to open up the doors of the church. There may have been something said that touched your heart. You may be a Zacchaeus that's up in a tree. Whatever your tree may be, it could be finances, it could be home. There's a lot of things, but whatever your tree may be, remember what Zacchaeus did. When God said, come down, he came down. So in other words, we got to give it over to Jesus. So whatever it is, if you want to come, please, ma'am, and please, sir, come. Today, you're here. It said somewhere, when you hear my voice, harden not your heart. If you hear that little voice talking to you, we ask you to come. Is there anyone? God bless you.